And away we go. Here we are back again. Yesterday I said we're back. Now today we're back times two right here on LFA TV. Welcome everybody to the 4 p.m. edition of the Santilli Report. I'm understanding that Hannah Faulkner is going to be coming on any day now. And we will certainly let you know. I'll be coming right after Hannah Faulkner. You got Will Johnson, I think, 2 to 3. Hannah Faulkner, 3 to 4. The Santilli Report, 4 to 5. Then we've got 5 to 6, Sean Farash. We're going to have all-day live coverage of great content, great shows, great hosts. Of course, God-centered, the best independent media lineup in all of independent media. So welcome, everybody, to this 4 p.m. edition. Today's top news headline. I had a couple. The Hegseth thing, we're going to be covering that. Are they going after Hegseth? What a bunch of hypocrites. I heard, stop, Pete. Wanted to get into the Hegseth thing. I'm so agitated by what they're doing. I heard a bunch of CNN people say, he was found guilty of mismanaging funds. We can't send him to the Pentagon. They just had like 8 audits and failed it and are missing trillions of dollars. Okay? What a bunch of hypocrites. He could mismanage funds and not lose trillions. Do a much better job. All he needs to do is show up. Mismanaging funds when you're running a nonprofit. Okay. So they're going through their list. They do not want Pete Hegseth as the Secretary of the Department of Defense. A couple of other announcements. I love that President Trump took back Peter Navarro as his advisor. We'll get to that as well. Joe Biden, idiot. Joe Biden's a blithering idiot. Joe Biden, idiot, dot, dot, dot. What an idiot. I got some stuff. He was with the African leaders and he fell asleep. That's a goofy one. That's not why I was calling him an idiot. Joe Biden, at the direction, I'm sure, of somebody else that pulls up his pants every day, is Trump-proofing the deep state bureaucracy. That's our top news headline. We're going to cover that story, I would say, pretty extensively. Listen, they say, oh, we're going to have a peaceful transition of power, and they fire freaking missiles at President Trump's balls before he even swears in. They're already sabotaging. They're already sabotaging the Trump administration. And then they're calling it, oh, we want a peaceful transition of power. It's going to be peaceful. Let's take a look at LFA TV today. And if you go to our Rumble channel, you'll see all the great shows. We've got Flyover Conservatives right now. That come on. I think they're going to be moving their slot. That's right. They're going to move their slot. Will Johnson, I think, might be filling in, and then we're going to have some movement there because we got to make room for Hannah Faulkner. Hannah Faulkner is going to be coming on. Fannie Willis given 5 days to turn over all of her documents, says Kevin Smith over there on Loud Majority. Jeremy this morning covered the fact that Eric Adams, he's now changed his tune. And he wants to work with President Trump. He should. You know, look at what happens when you say, oh, my goodness, stop sending your illegal aliens. They indict him. Of course he wants to work with President Trump. He knows what that's all about, of course. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Get settled in. Make sure you subscribe. Let's see. Is this a peaceful sabotage? Peaceful sabotage is, oh, by the way, everybody, big round of applause for producer Eli. He's the Picasso of thumbnails. He's the one that does the most epic thumbnails. He's an artiste. He's like the Michelangelo of LFA TV. I think he paints his thumbnails like laying down, you know, like Michelangelo did when he did the Sistine Chapel. Right? St. Peter's Square as well. he was laying down and he painted it gold. Just beautiful, beautiful artwork. Good afternoon to everybody in our chat room. I want you guys to give me some positive affirmations. How do you guys like the feel of the new studio? How does the audio quality sound? Audio quality. Wow, we got audio down, don't we? I think we had an infestation of some sort. There was something going on with the rodents. Elangelo works. What? Elangelo. Pete. I'm starting what? Huh? Lucy. I'm sorry, I can't say that. I'm sorry. Pop out chat. Let's see if we can expand upon that so I can actually read it. There we go. Pete, I'm starting to write a letter before sending a package. Lucy gone. Oh, my goodness. She sends the most awesome care packages, you guys. Everybody thank Lucy gone. LFA producer in the house says, thanks, Pete. Seriously, I'm not just joking. Everybody needs to know that we have on staff artiste. He really, really cares about what he's doing. You can see that in the quality of his work. And, you know, we give an idea as to the type of title, and he's starting to get a feel for, he's not a political guy, he's an artist. And sometimes they'll call me and say, what are you talking about? Who is Pete Hegseth? You know, he may not know that. He may not tune into Fox. He definitely doesn't tune into Fox News. But he'll ask me, he'll get a feel for it, and then bam, masterpiece. I like when he dresses me up as like Batman, stuff like that. I'll be like, oh my goodness, he put my face on Batman. He did that one time. So thank you very much, Eli. Eli Angelo. Yes. Eli Angelo. Sorry, I couldn't read that before. Great job, Eli Angelo. Thank you. Thank you to Frankie, Eli, great producers. These guys work around the clock. Everybody busting their hump to do whatever we can. You know what? It's kind of like, what's the best analogy I can use? A dam starts out with a lake, right? And then it starts gushing a little bit bigger. That's the independent media. At the other end of the dam where the lake was, people were walking up, taking a sip here and there. And now we've got a full-blown, just massive leak in the dam coming from mainstream. As far as information flow is concerned, mainstream media is dead, folks. Seriously, we're literally, LFA TV is very blessed to be on this side of the dam, catching all the information and distributing it the way I hope you guys like it. That is what people want. Listen, they like they like having their information served to them. By the way, when's the last time you had a chat directly with Anderson Pooper? He's got a one-way communicator. He says something stupid over at CNN. You have no way to say anything back to them. If I say something stupid here on LFA TV, what happens? I could trigger you guys right now. As a matter of fact, all of you Florida people are like Ron DeSantis. You know, if I say something, then I will become upset if President Trump, there was a rumor out there that Ron DeSantis was in consideration for the Department of Defense. If that happens, I will snap. I will snap. Ron DeSantis is corrupt. Okay? And I can prove it. People from Florida don't like me saying that because they got their, you know, hurricane apple all polished. You know, they don't talk about my, hi Denise, hi Deb Pollen, hi Denise, hello Major. Who are the men in the house that are saying, I see you. Where's he at? There's freaking, somebody's loose in the cage running around. I see you. Don't you hate when that happens? Sean? Sean knows. I don't freaking, if you're loose in the cage, I will call you out. I have to. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's, first of all, let me show you This is the other angle from this morning. Still got some wires to tidy up. That pole's not crooked. Let me show you a picture of what the studio looks like on the other side of the camera that I'm looking at right now. Check it out. That's our new studio. And guess what? That's all thanks to everyone's support. We thank you so much for all of your support. All of the individual supporters got us to this point to where we can now. We were by force after 10 years being in a, oh my goodness, Sean, you have to admit, we'd be moving on up. And we're not really moving on up just by changing environment alone. I realized how slummy my slumlord was for 10 years. You just wallow in that for so long. Bye. So we're in a basement in a house. It's a nice house. It's a comfortable house, about the same that we were paying before. It's a little bit more, but, we've got family to come. I can actually have in-studio guests, right? Legitimately, bring them in, sit them down, say hello. I want to be, man, I loved the Theo Von Mr. Beast interview. I don't know what it is about that. Did you watch that? You guys have to watch Theo Von and Mr. Beast. You do. You'd be like, why? Who's Mr. Beast? Mr. Beast? He has 334 million subscribers. There's just about as many people in the United States of America. He'll send out a video, 100 million videos. How did he get to that point? The craziest thing you could ever imagine. I love the guy's ethics, too. He's had a PR guy walk up to him before and say, you know what? You need to kind of spice up your story a little bit about why the work that you do is important and noble in it. He said, that sounds kind of fake. I think the work that I do makes me happy and makes the world a better place. That's it. The world, as far as I'm concerned, is a happier place for me doing a video than if I wasn't. That's what he said. And a PR person said, you need to kind of spice that up a little bit. And he's like, that sounds kind of fake. And I loved it because Theo Von's kind of like the same way too. Theo Von's got a little bit more vulnerabilities. You really get to know these people with these long formatted podcasts. From Joe Rogan. This is the new age, folks. As a matter of fact, I want to convince Jeremy to go to three-hour shows. Can you imagine? No, one-hour shows are perfect. They go fast, so let's get right to it. Here's our first news report. Do I have that up? No, I don't. Let me get it queued up. Okay, stand by. Hold on.
Yeah, so I'm hearing that they're going to make us...
Is she back in there again? I'm hearing it now. Can we put her on first? I'm going to play this. I did not plan to play this one. Let me turn that off. Just because it was in my rack, I have to play this. I'm hearing it. Here's your typical libtard. I need to fix that, by the way. Why? There it is. There we go. All right, folks. Here we go.
Yeah, so I'm hearing that they're going to make us start coming to work, like going into work, like leaving home and going in. Like I'm going
to. Yeah, as a result of this TikTok video, Joe Biden has signed someone. They said he signed a law that says that this woman's going to be all taken care of.
I have to get dressed and drive there. And I'm gonna have to deal with traffic. I mean, the stress that this is gonna cause me. I'm not gonna be able to watch The View when it comes on. I'm gonna have to wait till I get home after work and watch it. And lunch? Do I have to pack a lunch now? I mean, come on. I may just quit. I think that's gonna be the only option is just to quit.
That great? So today, that's exactly What? That's exactly what happened today. Why did that happen? Did something weird happen there? No, that's okay. We're all squared away. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden, okay, gave a parting gift, of course, to the deep state government bureaucrats. And I'll put this. This is all over the news. You will see it here on Gateway Pundit, one of my favorite outlets. Biden regime granting protections and secures permanent telework for 42,000 social security bureaucrats until after President Trump leaves office. So as the Biden administration prepares to exit, it has orchestrated a move as a cunning attempt to undermine the incoming Trump administration agenda to streamline government. Can you imagine? I mean, why should President Trump even mention what he's going to do? They're going to subvert everything he's doing. Oh, you're going to close the border. We're going to send more people. You know, well, okay, you're doing the exact opposite of everything. I know, but the children went missing, hundreds of thousands. I know, but they're, you know, we're compassionate. All these people are so crazy. Everything that President Trump says that he's going to do, he telegraphs that and they subvert it. They say, oh, it's a mostly peaceful transition. It's a peaceful sabotage of your administration. In a last minute deal, the Biden regime locked in telework protections for 42,000 Social Security Administration employees until 2029. The agreement reached with the American Federation of Government Employees, that's the union, ensures remote work privileges for these federal workers for the next 5 years. Despite the Trump administration's explicit plans to slash such arrangements, according to Bloomberg, the agreement brokered between the American Federation of Government Employees and the Social Security Administration was authorized by outgoing SSA Commissioner Martin O'Hawley. Okay, so that's what I think Deb was telling me. Oh, it's going to stick. It's going to stick. I'm like, no, it's not going to stick. President Trump's going to come in and he's going to take care of business. But when you sign a collective bargaining agreement, that's a contract, that to think that might be legally binding and it will require an unraveling it's going to tie everything up into the court system. So the agreement brokered between the American Federation of Government Employees and the Social Security Administration was authorized by outgoing SSA, that's Social Security Administration Commissioner Martin O'Malley, and codifies existing telework policies, limiting management's ability to impose stricter in-office requirements. All right. The president of the chapter defended the decision, noting that it will secure not just telework for Social Security, but also staffing levels through prevention of higher attrition, which in turn, listen, don't listen to their bullcrap. It's all bullcrap. Okay. How do I know? I mean, my sister is, I love her with all my heart, by the way. I do love her, but she's a government bureaucrat. I sat down with her at the dinner table, got into an argument because she was buying black American children bicycle helmets. And I'm like, why are you doing that? She's like, because of preventative, you know, they can't afford it. So we give them the helmets and it saves us money to 10 years down the road. And I'm like, what? Going to save money by providing black Americans bicycle helmets. Why don't you invest that same amount of money in teaching them how to go work and buy their own? And you can still accomplish the same goal. You know, if they can't afford the helmets, you don't say, well, we'll just give them one. And well, if they can't afford the helmet, you teach them. What do they say? Teach a man how to fish? Right? Give a man a fish. And what does he do? He takes it to Ted's Fish Fry in Troy, New York, and cooks it up, baby. That's right. But you give a man a loaf of bread, right? You feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish. Woo! He's not going to go hungry for a long time. But this Trump transition team did not provide a direct comment on the union contracts. That's the critical thing. Deb Santilli actually fed that into my brain, hit me with a shoe in the side of my head. She said, no. She said, it's going to be tough for Trump to unravel. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be a union contract that needs to be unraveled. And thank you very much for sabotaging intentionally the Trump administration's efforts to cut back on government waste, abuse, all that stuff. The Social Security Administration. Ladies and gentlemen, when was the last time you went to, let's say, the DMV and found them running a very efficient operation? Take your number, go stand in line. They're all grumpy, right? Very powerful. But under President Trump's leadership, the government efficiency effort led by Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon will target waste and fraud throughout our massive federal bureaucracy. Did I just hiccup? They will work together, slashing excess regulations, cutting wasteful expenditures, and restructuring federal agencies. Elon and Vivek, tapped by Trump to head the newly created Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, have made it clear that dismantling bloated federal work policies is a top priority. I would say, yes, the bureaucracy of the Social Security Administration is a target. All right? It is. How are we going to be able to get around it? Doing union contracts makes it a little bit more difficult. It does. Did you guys also hear, we're gonna do some podginess here as we approach the bottom of the hour. And I do want to ask you, ladies and gentlemen, one great way to support us. As a matter of fact, go down the list of ways to support us. Number one, ARMRA, colostrum. We're going to get back to ARMRA because I'm going to overemphasize the point, and I want to make sure that you guys are familiar with ARMRA and know that people are loving our ARMRA colostrum. We're getting positive feedback. People are buying it. And here is the code that you can use. Why can't I see that on the preview? Why? That sucks. Okay. There we go. All right, fantastic. ARMRA. Go to tryarmra.com/LFATV or scan that QR code. I'll come back to that in just a little bit. But I want to remind everybody that this show, this broadcast, this network relies upon your support of our ad sponsors that actually come back month in and month out. ARMRA's been with us for a while because of your support, and it keeps us going, helps us to grow. So ARMRA colostrum. Let's go to shift gears on let's listen to Charlemagne. These people on the other side are not making a lot of sense. A couple people are. I don't know if it's a gimmick by Charlemagne, but I want you to listen to what he says to ladies of The View. Who the hell tunes into The View? I don't know, but he goes over there. Listen to what he says.
I think all of the criticism is valid because, you know, Democrats stand on this moral high ground all the time. And, you know, they act so self-righteous. The reality is he didn't have to say anything in regards to, you know, whether or not, you know, his son wanted to be pardoned. He could have said, hey, man, I'm not focused on that right now. But since they were calling Trump a threat to democracy and they were saying that, you know, nobody's above the law, but they were speaking about him, that's what they were running on. So when he kept saying things like, oh, you know, nobody's above the law, I respect, you know, the jury's decision in regards to my son, he didn't believe that. But he didn't have to volunteer that lie to begin with.
I'm going to stop you for a second.
Uh-oh.
Only because you don't know that it was a lie. We don't know why he changed
his mind. You really think he just changed his mind over Thanksgiving weekend all of a sudden?
No, I'm going to tell you what I think.
Okay. Yeah.
I think he changed his mind because he got sick of watching everybody else get over. And this is just my feeling, because at some point you get to the place where you just go, so I'm just going to follow the straight and narrow always, because that's what's expected of Democrats.
But that's their fault. They're the ones that go out there and they stand on this moral high ground. Listen, they don't have to do that.
I'm a Democrat. Tell me what the moral high ground is.
The moral high ground is nobody's above the law. I respect what the jurors are saying. He don't have to do that.
So we're mad at him because he changed his...
By the way, I'm not mad at him pardoning Hunter Biden.
But you sound like you're mad.
No.
Okay. If I can get in on this, I actually think it went further, and this is one thing we really disagree on. Joe Biden made a point of saying we stand by our institutions
and the impartiality
of the Department of Justice.
Yes.
Democrats ran on that. The same DOJ indicted Hunter Biden. We shouldn't be saying it's corrupt like Donald Trump does. But then in his statement pardoning Hunter Biden, he says that it was a political pursuit by his own Department of Justice.
Can you explain to me why it is that... when Joe Biden does something, everybody clutches their pearls. He's wrong.
Nobody
he lied.
Donald Trump more than me or Charlemagne God.
I'm sorry.
By the way, that Farrah lady, it's kind of a funny thing because she said, I worked for the Trump administration. She's supposedly the conservative, whatever, run the right wing. And President Trump says, I don't even know who she was. She was working in PR, the PR person. I was a PR person over at the... she's got nice shoes. She's got those nice Manolo Blahniks. What are those? Look at those. Anyways, checking her out. But she's worthless, okay? President Trump said he barely even knew who she was. But she claims that she worked for the Trump administration. They interact back and forth. But Whoopi Goldberg is a freaking slob. She's a slob. Look at Whoopi. Here's the thing. Look back at this picture right here before I click the play button again. And I want you to notice the left side of the spectrum looks like a freaking homeless bag lady. And the conservative side on the right, she's wearing Manolo Blahniks. If you put Whoopi Goldberg in Manolo Blahniks, I think she would be arrested for theft.
People have criticized it more. I've criticized him more. We've all criticized him more, but you're missing my question.
Okay.
My question is, what is it that makes people flip the out with Joe, but we don't have the same kind of thing?
Well, I don't think people are flipping out with Joe. I think Democrats are flipping out with Joe because Democrats believe that they don't represent what he's currently representing. But that's just not true. That's why I say they stand on this moral high ground that simply does not exist. And I think this is also the problem when we pick sides, right? We've turned political parties into teams. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. Ain't nobody more delusional than me, right? Okay? I feel like we're going to the Super Bowl every year, but I'm not delusional. Well, no, that is delusional. But when it comes... But when it comes to political parties, if you pick a side, right, if you say you're a Democrat, if you say you're a Republican, you refuse to be objective about anything.
That's why I'm an independent.
Yes,
but that's not
a monolith. We're not, Democrats are not a monolith.
Why can't you say when Democrats are wrong? And why can't Republicans say when Republicans are wrong?
I'll tell you when Democrats are wrong.
So you don't think Joe Biden is wrong?
No, I don't. Can I just point this out to you? The president has a part in power, right?
I didn't say you were ridiculous, Ms. Goldberg.
Think about it this way.
We have to have that same discussion over on the right side of the political spectrum. We have to. We have to admit when we're wrong. But I'm going to say that we're going to weaponize things, okay? One beautiful thing about what's happening with President Trump is he gets a feel for some of his stupid picks. But a lot of his picks, we're talking tens of thousands of employees. Did you know that? When they nominate, you know, the Secretary of Defense, I mean, there's tens of thousands of employees under his executive leadership. So he's going to be, there's going to be certain people. By the way, Monica Crowley, great pick. I love Monica Crowley. Super loyal, super smart. Love her. Awesome pick. There were a couple of dumb ones that he was considering. I think the DEA guy, the guy was a gun-grabbing whatever. And the people spoke out, all right? So I want everybody to go along with me. If you don't like what he's doing and it's something dumb, you need to consider this. that if we don't speak out like a bunch of chirping birds, that President Trump is never going to know. He's going to be surrounded by a bunch of people that say, oh, this guy's good. Kind of like, what the hell is her name? The Surgeon General? What the hell is her name? I don't even want to know what her name is. That lady was a COVID jabber. It was the most awful Surgeon General pick. Did he stick with that? She better reverse the course that she was on over there at Fox News, pushing Johnson & Johnson. Ladies and gentlemen, we must speak out when President Trump receives a stupid recommendation. He receives stupid information. Because remember last time, you know, he went running around with Operation Warp Stupid, right? We all know better now about how dangerous the jabs are. Jeanette Kumquat. Kumquat, okay? Kumquat Neshwat. Yes, that's right. Kumquat's a fruit. She's a fruitcake. But we have to speak out. We have to weaponize it. And President Trump should be able to crowdsource information. We're really smart. We're not, like, those people are really, they're crazy. They're crazy people on the left side of the political spectrum. So let's embrace undoing stupid or undoing mistakes or saying, hey, we really suck at fixing elections, broken elections. We're terrible at it. The greatest problem, the biggest culprit in this election fraud issue were the Republicans. Can we admit that? You know what I don't like about this shot right here? I don't have my bobbleheads right here. Need a bobblehead war. Here, let's show the shot. Show the full shot. Huh? Yeah. Show the full shot on the LFA board. We may not have it. Everybody stay right there. You got to see the bobble. There it is. Oh, man. You know what I should do? I should put my mannequin right there in the seat when, all right? Have the mannequin standing right next to me. The LFA mannequin. LFA man. I can't. Yeah. Man. I can't. This is great. All right, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? How many of you like, and you have to consider this, it's a theatrical performance in Congress, but how many of you love the theater of Josh Hawley? How many of you? You're going to hear him rip. It's all theatrical, by the way. When they get people under oath, Josh Hawley is, he does an epic takedown here. And then we'll get to, where did that go? Oh, here it is. Absolutely brutal. Here's Josh
Senator Hassan, Senator Hawley.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Can we just come back to this bounty issue, Mr. Schroeder, Mr. Klein? Because I have to say I didn't understand your answers. I thought you said to the chairman earlier that you did say in your opening statement that there was a lot of misinformation about this out there, Mr. Schroeder. And I thought you said, Mr. Klein, that you don't charge bounties. So can we just clear this up once and for all? We're all here. We're all under oath. So, Mr. Schroeder, let's start with you. Do you charge a bounty? Do you pay employees bounties on carry-on bags to identify them?
Well,
that's a yes or no.
I wouldn't characterize it as a bounty.
Do you charge them? Do you pay your employees a fee? Do you incentivize them to go pick out bags from people getting on planes and kick them off the flight? Just yes or no?
We charge them an incentive.
Okay, that's a yes. Mr. Klein.
We do not, Senator Hawley.
You don't pay your employees?
We have previously, sir, but we actually suspended that on September 30th of this year. And now in order to be able to treat all of our guests fairly and equitably, we've actually just put more staff and supervisors out at the gate area. And they're the ones that are still making sure that everyone's treated fairly and equitably, which is the point behind these kinds of programs. But we have removed that program as of September 30th.
Oh, interesting. So let's come back to you, though, Mr. Schroeder. So how much have you paid your gate agents to enforce your carry-on bag policy, to pick people out of the line like the chairman's video show. I mean, you guys do appreciate that flying on your airlines is a disaster, don't you? I'm slightly amazed by the general attitude of all of you here. Flying on your airlines is horrible. It's a terrible experience. I mean, I say this as a father of three young children, but I can't tell you, Mike, nobody enjoys flying on your airlines. It's a disaster. You charge people fees that they know nothing about. You harass them to death. I'll never forget, Mr. Johnson, during COVID, when an attendant on your airline threatened my wife because our then five-year-old son, his mask had slipped. This is back when we all had to wear those ridiculous masks. His mask had slipped below his nose. This flight attendant came up to my wife and said if she didn't keep that mask over his nose at all points on this four-hour flight, she would personally see that my wife was banned from flying. This has happened over and over to families. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And your attitude here today seems to be, well, devil may care. There's nothing we can do about it. Well, I think we are going to do something about it. So how much have you paid people to pull out customers who are in line with a bag that's 2 centimeters too big, Mr. Schroeder?
Well, we recognize this is a hard job, and so therefore we incentivize them to do that.
How much?
It's $10 per bag.
Wow. $10 per bag. And I think, Mr. Klein, you and Mr. Schroeder, your airlines cumulatively have spent $26 million paying gate agents between 2022 and 2023 to catch passengers whose bags are a little bit too big. $26 million. I mean, if people want to know why it's such a terrible experience to fly, this is news for them today. Your airlines are paying millions of dollars to your employees to harass people who've already paid. They're there in line because they've already paid. It's unbelievable. By the way, let me just ask you this while I have you here. Why is it that you charge different people different fees for carry-on bags? Why is that, Mr. Klein? Why isn't it just a flat fee? Why is it that I might get charged one fee, but my wife might get charged a different fee? Why is that?
So overall, our job is to generate the most revenue we can, so we can be profitable as an airline. We have costs, and there's costs out there, and we have to make sure that we're above the cost line in order to make sure that we can run a profitable entity.
Yeah,
and be able
I got
to
it. Grow. No, I got it. Money's the answer. So your in last year, your carry-on bag fees ranged between $15 and $99. That's extraordinary. One person might pay 15, somebody else might pay 99. How do you determine it? Is it based on personal characteristics?
It's never based on personal characteristics.
You charge minors more?
We do not, sir.
What, just people who are suckers? I mean, how do you do it?
Well, there is a cost to carry any kind of bag.
Yeah, but why do you charge some people more? I understand the cost, and you made clear money's your bottom line. I get that. But why is it that you're charging some people what, triple, quadruple the amount?
Well, the length of the flight should matter in this as well.
So that's not the data. The data shows is we're talking about the same people on the same flight might get charged radically different prices for a one carry-on bag. You do the same thing for check bags. Why is that?
Right. So just for the record, the $99 charge has been reduced to $79
as a maximum.
What ends up happening here is we want to make sure that we can get the best price to the best people at the right time.
The best people? Who would they be?
Let me rephrase. The right price.
Are those the people who, what? I mean, no, explain it to me. I'm interested. Who are the best people?
Well, that was the misstatement, sir. What we're trying to do is get the right price at the right time. And what that also means is making sure that if someone's on a flight that's now filling up, and we have a lot of, as we talked about, unbundled pricing.
And they get screwed. So like if you have the misfortune of having to book your flight at the end because maybe something's been canceled, then you're going to get screwed. Is that what you're telling me? You're not one of the best
people. Referencing just fares?
I'm just responding to your testimony. I'm listening to you. And you just said as a flight's filling up, you're going to get.
Can I be honest with you? Can I tell you something? Tell you a secret? The worst airline is Frontier. And Spirit is even worse than Frontier. Seriously. It's like the ghetto of the airplane industry. Oh, so horrifying. And Deb gets excited. You know, she'll make travel arrangements. She'll be like, oh, it's $120 round trip. Right? And it looks great. Frontier will suck you in with a $129 rate. And they say, oh, air. You're going to have to breathe. Onboard air is like $300. You know, you start, they nickel and dime you. You go from $120. Now, here's the most horrifying part. Is that as you start to get closer to bringing your bags to the airport, you start recognizing that there's no way out of it. You started out 2 months ago with a $120 rate. Then they're like, oh, you're going to have to be charged check-in. And then you drop off your bag. It's going to cost you $17 per tag. And, oh, would you like to have a seat that allows for some freaking 250-pound guy like me to sit in? Would you like some extra legroom? If you say no to the extra legroom, go ahead. Shove a freaking loaf of bread in your left breast pocket. Let me know how that works for you. It's horrifying. There's no way I can sit in those seats that don't have the extra legroom. Not because I'm fat. Yes, I am fat. Okay. Big guy. You know, I mean, 6 foot, 250 pounds. You cram me into that seat. The seats are like this. You're like, you know, jammed in there. Slide you in. If you like extra legroom, when they're asking me for extra legroom and I say yes to that, it's not a luxury item. I want to be able to live through the flight. They nickel and dime you. $120 round trip airfare is $500, period. I mean, that's all there is to it before it's said done. And don't you dare complain about it as you get close to your flight. Because if you change your mind, you're going to pay $700 with a different airline. You have no other choice. My God, the last flight I went on, I wore a MAGA hat. My flight was canceled. My bags were lost. It was horrifying. It was awful. All right. Let's listen to a couple more minutes of this grilling.
Charge more.
Not always. Sometimes you'll get charged less. That,
exactly. Right. Sometimes. Right. But you'll never know, right? That's the beauty of it. It's like Russian roulette. It's, flying on the airline is.
I would disagree,
you have no
sir.
Idea in the world.
I would disagree.
Well, no, you just said it.
It's very transparent.
We'll have
sir.
It. Listen, there'll be a
it's
transcript generated, and I'll send it to you with a bow on it. You can read your own testimony just now. You have no idea what the fee is going to be ever. Mr. Schroeder, what about you? Your airline charges, sometimes it's $0 for a bag checked. Sometimes it's $99 for a bag checked. On a first, sorry, that's carry-on. Carry-on. For check bag, it could go from $0 to $138. Who knows what it's going to be? Why do you vary it so much? Is that fair to the consumer?
So it depends again on routes and so there's just demand around that.
No, but that's not true. We're talking about people on the same flights. Their prices may vary by huge astronomical percentages. Why is that?
Well, that happens on airfare as well. And I'll explain the model and how we think about things. So increasing ancillary historically has brought the fare down. And I brought up earlier that nearly 50% of people are not paying for a bag or a seat. We are providing options that people are deciding whether they want that or not. That is increasing the ability for people
to
travel.
Listen,
and travel
my time is limited, and I know the chairman, Senator Hassan, want to ask more questions. I just want to point out to you that you are charging people for the same thing, one checked bag or one carry-on bag on the same flight. People are paying wildly different prices for it. They have no idea what it's going to be. I think people will be...
Okay, here's the deal. I just stopped it. Sorry about that. Black screen. My fault. Oh, you guys, this is what they do. I've got it figured out. The closer you get to your departure time, the higher the rates are going to be. That's what they do. You can't change your mind. You're going to have to pay for that thing. What are you going to do? Switch airlines? And I think they all collude. I think they do price fixing. Frontier is awful. You guys do never, ever, ever fly Frontier, number one. Never fly Frontier. If you're going to be lured in by the low price, why am I talking about this? Because I'm so pissed off at Frontier. But it's a gouging to the highest order. We only have a few minutes here. You know what I want to do? I want to share with you. Hold on a second. CozyEarth.com is back, ladies and gentlemen. Have you ever tried Cozy Earth? We've got awesome news right now. You can save up to 40% right now on Cozy Earth right now. But hurry, this offer is not going to last. It's the holiday season. They want you to go after it. They want LFA viewers who love Cozy Earth men's. I mean, look at I want a pair of these men's flannel pajamas. Don't you? Look at it. Our board operator shaking his head. Yes, absolutely. They're premium bedding, that's hilarious. Whether it's luxury bedding, ultra comfortable loungewear, bath towels, and more, you'll love shopping at Cozy Earth. Go to CozyEarth.com. Enter my promo code LFA at checkout and save up to 40%. 40%. Made from viscose from bamboo. Temperature regulating. Only gets softer with every wash. Sensitive, skin friendly, and now available in 13 different colors. So go to CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Use promo code LFA. Okay. Oh my goodness, 10 minutes. Can you imagine that? Do I always complain about the fact that the 1 hour goes by quickly? It's because I miss you guys in between shows. It's only an hour. I spend more time. But guess what? I do. I got a cheap, shameless plug here. You can always join us, Deb and I, in the morning, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. It's the best, but it will be at a certain point in time. We're just getting settled in right now back into our new studio. The best morning show available anywhere, period. All right? So join us at 8 a.m. To 11 a.m. Eastern time. Go to PeteLive.tv. Go to our Rumble channel. You can subscribe to us and spend more time with us. And then guess what else? We're going to be doing a lot of content 7 days a week. Can you imagine that? Hopefully, Jeremy will pick us up for a weekend slot. Now, let's listen to something that's going on with Pete Hegseth, okay? He did speak to President Trump. President Trump is asking him to continue on to Sir John. And there's a lot of opposition to Pete Hegseth.
I spoke to the president-elect this morning. He said, keep going, keep fighting. Find your way.
So you're in this all the way.
Why would I back down? I've always been a fighter. I'm here for the war fighters. This person passionate for me.
You're not withdrawing your name from consideration, just to be clear.
We're meeting all day with senators.
I know your mom was just on Fox. She says that you are a change.
Listen.
To tell us, you called us yesterday and you said you wanted to come on.
I did. I said I would do anything for my son.
I completely get this. You never in a million years thought you would be.
This is Pete Hegseth's mom.
Doing this.
No.
Because you didn't realize that this email you wrote in 2018, somebody leaked it to the New York Times.
Correct.
Let me put it. Mm-hmm. When you wrote that, what's the backstory? What was going on that made you so angry you wanted to write that?
Well, I will tell that story in a moment, but let me make two statements first, and one is to President Trump. And I want to say thank you for your belief in my son. We all believe in him. We really believe that he is not that man he was 7 years ago. I'm not that mother. And I hope people will hear that story today and the truth of that story. So the other thing I want to say is I am here to tell the truth. To tell the truth to the American people and tell the truth to the senators on the Hill, especially our female senators. I really hope that you will not listen to the media and that you will listen to Pete.
Well, and you're here to tell us because you are in the news now. So why did you write that email in 2018?
Right. Well, let's
what was
back,
going on?
Right. Let's go back 7 years, which if we all went back 7 years, we we would see that maybe we were not the people we are today. But they were going through, Pete and his wife at the time were going through a very difficult divorce. It was a very emotional time, and I'm sure many of you across the country understand how difficult divorce is on a family. There's emotions.
It's terrible. Why are they grilling this guy for his personal stuff? Can you imagine? Oh, he's criticized for drinking. Criticized for drinking. Okay. Can I tell you something? I was glad to get out of the military. The entire Pentagon, all the way down to a Lance Cooley or a private in the Marine Corps. Every night, every weekend, it was just, you drank like crazy. And then, you know, you go to work, to work it off. But to criticize Pete Hegseth because he drinks, does he have a drinking problem? I don't think so. I don't think he does. Let's see. Watch this. That's his mom. There's another one from CNN arguing the point. Watch this.
This is ridiculous.
Well, one thing to note that Pete Hegseth has actually not denied these things. He's just avoiding questions about them.
If I may, that is a very long article. I agree with you. There's a lot of things that Pete has allegedly done. And whether it is that he's stolen from the organizations he's run, or he has endless drug escapades, or he has white nationalist tattoos, or he's raped women,
whatever
it is that he says or he has allegedly done. That's all reported.
Ridiculous.
But here's what I'm saying.
Ridiculous.
The biggest thing people need to understand.
I don't think you're ashamed of yourself.
If I may.
Let me just correct one thing. I don't think there were
white nationalist tattoos. You mean Christian tattoos?
Hold on. He didn't. The allegation was not that he stole from the organizations, but that he mismanaged
the money.
Continue.
So I would say the biggest thing to remember is that the Secretary of Defense is involved in every issue of our national security, involved in, I don't know why you're laughing, involved in the use of nuclear weapons, is sending our troops into combat.
The president's involved in the use. The Secretary of Defense is involved in the use of nuclear weapons. Yes. The use of them. What? What a bobblehead.
That. Approving drone strikes. There are literal life and death issues in the hands of the U.S. Secretary of Defense every day. And on the alcohol alone, you cannot give someone a job like that who has a drinking problem. Someone who might be incapacitated for multiple reasons.
You're going to continue to defame the guy. You don't know him. You don't know he has a drinking problem.
I'm not his best friend, which you apparently are. But what I'm saying is, this is a huge job that is dangerous. It's not part of it.
Hold on a second.
I am not done. Please stop. I am not done. Hold on.
Lee, just stop for just a second.
Just
stop. No. I want to just, let's clear the decks for one second.
Oh, yeah, please. Absolutely.
So that we can all stop talking at the same time and then you can continue. Go ahead.
It is not partisan to say that Pete can't do this job. It is practical. It is about keeping the country safe. It is about the safety of our troops. He is being hired. He has been potentially hired to run the world's largest and most.
She's reading off her notes. She's reading from her notes. Okay, can I share with everybody right now? Here's I'm noteless. Okay. Oh, he's going to be in charge of firing off nuclear weapons. I mean, they just got constantly. They say, oh, he's financially mismanaging stuff, and nobody on CNN during that entire segment says that the Pentagon has been not only accused of mismanaging funds, they've had audits and failed them, and trillions of dollars have gone missing. And they're criticizing Pete Hegseth for his inability to manage his funds. As an institution, the Pentagon has zero. Where's the segment on them talking about the trillions of dollars that went missing? Here's Joe Biden. We're going to end on this note. Ladies and gentlemen, no, we may not end on this note, but I'm going to tell you what, it's a great note. Joe Biden fell asleep with...
Allow me to reiterate Tanzania's commitment to regional integration
with African leaders.
We note the progress made on the development of the Lobito Corridor and commend the visionary leadership that has brought this initiative to life. And it is through such partnerships and innovations that Africa's Agenda 2063 will be realized. I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I'd like to turn over...
All right, so the audio not...
All right, this is what I'm going to say. Ladies and gentlemen, sorry about that. I apologize. I love that, though. JeremyHarrell.com. Scan that QR code. Make sure you scan that QR code to support us. We need your support. We love your support. Ladies and gentlemen, how do I say this? I mean, Joe Biden is a criminal. He was prior to his mental incapacitation. I have, and I'm not just saying this just for theatrical reasons. I have a lot of compassion for somebody like Joe Biden that is so, really, yes, he's in, regardless of what you think, he's in the twilight of his political career. He has a matter of days left. When he leaves office and they get him off those vitamins they have on propped up, you know, to make appearances, he's done. I cannot believe that Joe Biden is even able to walk around. They've got him so injected with whatever it is. It's an abuse. It's elder abuse. Joe Biden has been a puppet in this regime that exists behind the scenes. I think it's terrible. And I would say, just like Ronald Reagan, I will have the same exact compassion towards a president of the United States that fell so hard as President Ronald Reagan did. Same thing is going to apply with Joe Biden. Regardless of what you think, he was a criminal before his mind was blown. That's a fact. I think so. So we have to have some compassion. But for right now, let's compassionately exit and hand everything over to Sean Farash right here on LFA TV. Stay tuned for live broadcast coverage all the way through. Ladies and gentlemen, all day long, starting out in the morning. Of course, join me at 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on the Pete Santilli Show whenever you choose to do that. And then Jeremy Harrell kicks stuff off in the morning. And the live coverage all throughout the day you'll love. Thanks for joining us. Sean Farash coming up right now.
Circus. Yeah.